Right now, we bring on Adrian Dater, our Avalanche insider from ColoradoHockeyNow.com, joining us courtesy of Bud Light. Wasn't it supposed to have been a relatively quiet weekend for the Avalanche? Although they didn't sign anybody else as free agents, they have been far from inactive, right?
Correct, Sandy. It was a Bill Key affair
yes.
for the Avalanche, but Joe Sakic never said it wouldn't be potentially active on the trade front.
Right.
So technically, he was right as always. Us in the media, we got a little excited about the possibilities of a couple possible free agent signings. We can talk about that in a second. But yeah, they certainly made a couple sizable deals. I guess one of them wouldn't be quote sizable so much in the to the you know Joe Sixpack type of fan out there, but in the hockey world, they were pretty big, and they did get a big name from Chicago, fairly
Absolutely.
Big name.
Sure.
So, yeah, it was a very very active last couple of days. I know I haven't had much relaxation time here around the house. So,
well, they've been busy on the contract front as well with Ryan Graves, and you had that yesterday morning. We reported that Ryan Graves had signed a 3-year deal. We now know the terms are somewhere around $9.5 million for the 3 years. Graves, a restricted free agent. Tyson Jost, the other restricted free agent they have to sign. We know about the Saad trade for Zadorov. Basically, that's the deal. There are other players involved, but basically that's the essence of the deal. Those are the two key guys involved in it. They've re-signed Burakovsky and Nichushkin. Nemestikov was let go as a free agent, but all in all, a pretty active weekend. And yeah, they got a defenseman named Dennis Gilbert in the deal with Chicago, but they got an even stronger player, it would seem, yesterday from the New York Islanders. Can you tell us about Devon Taves from the Islanders?
Yeah, he's definitely a better, you know, player, more established player than Gilbert. You know, played every game with the Islanders last year. He's 6'1", 192 pounds. He's got a little bit of an upside, offensive upside to him, too.
Yeah.
You know, 20-something points for a defenseman, not too bad. Puck mover, quick feet generally, but also good size. So he doesn't, he takes up space back there. When he goes to the puck, he generally corrals it very well. Doesn't get rubbed off the puck at all. With his size, not considered a banger physically so much, but not a pushover either out there for sure. So he was a guy that the Islanders definitely did not want to let go, would never have let go like that for just a couple picks. But the Islanders had a severe cap crunch. They've got to sign their best player, Matthew Barzal. Still, they've got other guys that are in the queue for other contracts, and he was the sacrificial lamb, so to speak, to get to for cap space because he had a contract that was coming up,
right?
And he also had arbitration rights, and that's a killer. That's why the Avs had to give a little more to guys like Burakovsky and Graves too, because they had arbitration rights, and that's
yep.
That's something that's hurt teams right now because of the hard cap, and they've got to make tough choices.
I thought, and again, Ryan Graves always seems to fly under the radar. And even this weekend, oh, yeah, Ryan Graves has signed a new 3-year deal. People forget or maybe just put aside the fact that he was a plus 40 player last year. He didn't start the year playing with Cale Makar as the first defense tandem. But he finished the year that way. And in that respect, when you look at plus minus and the perfectly complementary skills between Graves and Makar, that's as good a tandem on defense as there might be in the league right now.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Ryan Graves is a guy that, you know, a lot of people want to try to nitpick with him. Maybe he was, you know, his puck possession numbers aren't quite as good as they should be, so therefore he's a little overrated. No, I saw him play every game last year. We all did. He was involved in all situations. He wasn't a power play guy, but he was involved in all other situations, and he was good. He was real good, and I don't see him diminishing at all. I mean, he's 6'5", about 235, 230. And he's a good hockey player. He's got good hockey sense. I thought it was a great signing by the Avs. Lock him up for 3 years at a pretty good price. You know, the question is, everybody's going to say, all right, do it again, do it again. You know, sophomore's just going to get him. Well, okay, fine. But I don't see him. Maybe he's not going to be a plus 40. I mean, that's pretty. But he's going to be fine. He's going to be a player. And, you're right. He didn't start with Makari. They tried to play him with other guys, you know, and he did just fine with them, too. Gerard, he played with quite a bit. And he had good numbers with all those guys. So, good signing and good player moving forward.
I know that you've written and speculated some about Taylor Hall and the possibility that he might come here as a free agent. He signs with Buffalo 1 year, $8 million. My question to you is, I know he was signed as a free agent. Saad was acquired through trade. Saad's about 1 year younger. Give us the calculation. 1 year, $8 million for Hall. 1 year with the Avs only paying $5 million of the $6 million salary that Saad will be making. Of the two, who would you rather have? Saad at $5 million or Hall at $8
million? I'd rather have Hall, to be honest with you. He's a Hart Trophy winner. He's just a more talented player. So if money's the only object, then I want Hall. But not to say that I don't like Brandon Saad. Just like Hall a little better. But you know what? The Avs did make him an offer, I believe. 1 year, 6.5.
Yeah.
And
I think that's fair.
He turned it down over $1.5 million. If that's the case, then let him go. You know, I mean, I thought it was all about winning. I thought it was all about winning, Taylor,
right. You
know.
Right.
And you want Buffalo over the Avalanche? Okay, have fun with that.
If you asked me, let's say the Avalanche were picking up the entire Saad salary at $6 million, and Hall had agreed to come here for $6.5 million, you might make another trade involving Zadorov. I might take Hall, too, at that point. But when the difference is $3 million for next year and both guys are rentals, I mean, Saad's a rental here. I mean, we all know that. They've got Landeskog, Belmar, Calvert, Grubauer, Cole as unrestricted free agents next year. We'll talk about negotiations with Landeskog in a moment, what you're hearing about that the Avalanche may try to get Landeskog signed before the next year begins. Makar's a restricted free agent. And I look at all of that, and I'm thinking, for 1 year, you can use Saad. Saad's not a great player, but he's a solid 20-goal, 40-to-45-point-a-year guy. He can kill penalties.
All-star 1 year.
He can play on the second power play unit. Yep, he was an all-star 1 year. He's played on a couple of Stanley Cup championship teams, so he knows what winning feels like and what it looks like. And you can play him kind of all over. You could play him on the top line. You could play him in the second line. You can play him with different people. I think it's a great deal considering, and when Zadorov has had his ups and downs, and I know he's big and physical, but I don't think the Avalanche are, to coin a phrase that you'll remember, marshmallows on defense.
I do remember that
reference, right?
Pat Quinn,
yes,
the late
from
Pat
a quarter
Quinn
century
the...
ago. Or something.
Oh God, I know, I remember. You know what? When you said Hall, I was thinking more maybe just at 6.5. I don't think I ever would have wanted Hall at $8 million anyway. I would have thought that's way too much for him on this team. And now you've got it. Now you're paying him, way more than Nate. And I know Nate's a special case with his contract. I think it comes down to if a guy wanted to win and really wanted to say, hey, I want to be an Avalanche and I'm going to take a little bit of a haircut than I could have, then I would have said, I want Taylor Hall, but he didn't do that. He chose a Buffalo Sabre team for $1.5 million more. To me, that's going to possibly, who cares? He's going to be fine. He's not going to win any Stanley Cup for the Buffalo Sabres.
No, he's not.
That's for sure.
No, he's not.
Unless they go out and get, half the Tampa Bay Lightning roster or something, too, to join the reserve. I like the deal. I thought getting, Saad for Zadorov is a steal in a sense. Sorry. I like Big Z personally. Everybody loves
Absolutely.
His personality.
Absolutely.
But I just did not like him as a player that much. I loved it when he made a nice big hit and like everybody else. And he had a pretty good slap shot and he scored some goals at times that were like,
playoffs.
Really helped the team.
Sure.
But, God, how many times we see him get beat in front of the net? He didn't use his size in front of the net as well as he could have, I always thought. He'd hit you and he'd make a good line you up for a big hit, but he wouldn't be physical in front of the net a lot.
Yeah.
And that always frustrated me. We saw that in the final game of this season.
Yep.
Against the Dallas Stars when he was totally out of gas and he couldn't even go hit anybody and the net was vacated and then Gurionov scored the goal and the Avs are out. That was the final moment for Nikita Zadorov was getting beat on the last goal.
Yep.
So, good move by Sakic. Trader Joe striked again on that one. I think the Avs are a better team than they were a couple days ago. That's
the
bottom line.
Absolutely.
That's the bottom line. And, there is a lot of pressure on them to win a Stanley Cup now, of course. Like there is for 30 other teams.
That's right.
The Avs have a good roster. Will there be a season?
We talked about that a little bit. Yeah, we talked about that a little bit, and I want to ask you about that again. Last time we spoke, we heard from you, your thoughts on that. And I want to combine that question with the one you were reporting yesterday, that the negotiations with Tyson Jost are perhaps close to completion. There's word that even as he won't be an unrestricted free agent until the end of 2021, whenever that is, that they're working on a deal to extend Gabriel Landeskog as well. Tell us what you hear about that and the latest that you hear about a starting date, if you hear anything remotely definitive about a starting date for the next season.
Well, let's talk about the starting date. It's all January 1st is the target date, and it was going to be December 1st. Now they've kicked it down another month down the road. Now it's all about trying to hope for more good news on the virus. The word I kind of hear more often is shorter season.
Okay.
60-game season. It's starting January 1st and then trying to get it over with in a normal time, like April, maybe into May.
Right.
But they don't want to be playing hockey again in August
and
September.
Right.
They don't want to do that, for a lot of reasons. So, they want to play 82, but it's starting to look more like, they're going to have to squeeze in a shorter season. Or if they can get the players to agree to an 82-game season in 3 months or something, which, they'll all be injured by the time they're out. It's unlikely. But it's going to be a lot of issues here, man. I'll tell you what, the owners are going to take another big haircut is the thing. But the players are, too. The players are... they want to be played for 82 games, their salaries, but they may not play 82. So there's going to be a lot of issues. I just think that they're going to, play a shorter season. The players are going to have to agree to even what basically is the issue here, Sandy, is they're not going to make any money next year, no matter what, because they're going to play. They're going to take a 20% escrow hit no matter what.
Right.
They've already agreed to that. Plus a 10% reduction in their salaries if the NHL doesn't hit their revenue target, which of course they're not going to hit. So they're going to be playing for 30% less already.
Yep.
So they may agree to a shorter season anyway because it's like, we're not going to make our regular money anyway. So be on the lookout for a possible 60 something game season.
All right.
And then a normal playoffs, hopefully, and down the road when we're all living happily ever after, hopefully.
Well, does that affect the Landeskog negotiations? Now, what you just said, does that have any impact one way or the other on a deal getting done sooner or later with respect to Landeskog?
I doubt it. He won't, you know, of course his cap, no matter when he signed the contract, as if he did this whole year, it won't go into effect till next year's. And because, you know, you can't extend a contract and get paid earlier on it.
Right. Right.
So I think that it'll be fine. I know they talked, Sakic talked to his agent, Peter Wallin, during the bubble in Edmonton, got the talk started. Didn't get a deal, but you know, you're going to be looking at a Landeskog's going to want something around, you know, $7 to $8 million probably, based on the numbers. I mean, that's probably what he's going to ask for, and I'm sure he's going to get close to that, if not that, what he wants, you know. So, but I do think the odds. I think the odds are, you know, it's a lot depends too on. You know, what Makar is going to want and get.
Sure.
We had a little bit of a benchmark established yesterday with Pietrangelo at $8.8
million. Yeah.
You know, Makar is not an unrestricted free agent, so he can't get that money just yet. But he might, you know, he might get it. You know, Thomas Chabot with the Ottawa Senators got 8 years and $64 million. I think, you know, he's very similar to Makar in a lot of ways. I think that's going to be the benchmark moving forward for Makar. 8 times 8 wouldn't surprise me at all deal. Because they're going to want to lock him up long-term, obviously.
Absolutely. Absolutely. No doubt about it. And, you know, as we're talking, we're getting questions on the text line. People always on the RamosLaw.com text line and in most other hockey cities worry about the goaltending situation unless you have an elite one. And you were the one who made the point last week, so this is partially your fault. Avalanche have finished 2 of the last 3 years with the starter out and no names between the pipes. And from the 360, we just got the text. I think goaltender should have been first priority. Markstrom was available. What about that? The Avalanche are a Stanley Cup contender in every respect, I think, and a bona fide one, agreed to by everyone to be one of the lead contenders, and I think they are regardless of the goaltending situation. But people say the one thing that holds me back is the goaltending situation. I'm not confident in what they have.
Well, this is certainly going to be a hot debate topic for the next season. I am somebody who personally believes that I think they should have gotten an upgraded goal if they could have, and I think there were options available. I think the Markstrom kid from Vancouver who signed is, you know, definitely a guy that would have been an upgrade. But he, you know, they didn't want to throw their money there. They just simply believe there's being stubborn about this, Joe Sakic and the Avs, by thinking that, you know, this was a fluke. Both our goalies got hurt at the same time.
Right.
It won't happen again. The odds are it won't happen again. They're fine. They're going to be fine. Grubauer's good. He's going to be healthy. Same with Frankie. And we're going to make the decision to go with those two again until further notice. Their combined cap hit is $5.2 million for two goalies. It would have been $6 million for Markstrom for one guy.
Yep.
So there's some economics here, too.
Always
why
hard.
They didn't. They just felt like they wanted another forward, and they wanted another D. And, yeah, maybe they would have wanted another goalie too, but the numbers, they just kind of ran out of money. So they're going to go with what they got. And, yeah, there's going to be a ton of pressure on Grubauer and Francois moving forward because that roster in front of them is a very good roster, and everybody's going to be pointing at them saying, the only thing they don't have is a goalie, maybe, and that's just going to wear on them. They have to get over that, and they have to prove that they can win and do it. You know, they were on their way, it seemed like, and then Grubauer, you know, tore up what he did in the first period, game one of second round, and he was done.
That's
so,
right.
And Frankie, you know, they say Frankie was hurt. Okay, I'll buy it. He sure was awful in the net, that's for sure. So that better be the good excuse. Otherwise there's a lot of pressure on him now too. Cause I don't think I've ever seen a goalie play worse in those three or four games.
Yeah. He was not good.
He was not good.
And yet the Avalanche in their defense, they were the number six defensive team, throughout the regular season in the NHL. And they certainly looked fine against Arizona. Of course, Arizona, brings very little to the table as far as an attack is concerned. But that will be the ongoing question, no doubt about it. Adrian, our thanks, as always.
Okay, Sandy. Take care.
Appreciate it. There he goes, our Avalanche insider, Adrian Dater, coming to you thanks to Bud Light, official beer sponsor of the Colorado Avalanche.